In case you are just joining us, after standing for 105 years, Silent Sam is down. About 250 protesters brought down the monument last night on the UNC campus. That statue came down around 9:20 p.m. as the culmination of a demonstration that began at 7. Protesters occasionally clashed with police, briefly blocked Franklin Street, but then came back to McCorkle Place, wrapped banners around the statue, and knocked it off its pedestal. The pedestal is still there. The statue now is nowhere to be seen. The conversation continues. As it happens, we had previously scheduled Dr. Debbie Stroman, who's the chair of Orange County's Human Relations Commission, former chair of the Carolina Black Caucus at UNC, and Mia Burrows of the Orange County Board of County Commissioners to come into the studio for sort of a larger conversation about civility and civil discourse in our community, because we've got a couple of projects related to that ongoing. We're talking about this earlier today. Should we continue the conversation? And we agreed, yes, this is the perfect day to have a conversation, because this raises the question of how we engage with each other in a world where we have diverse opinions, we all have to live together, but there's also actual injustice in the world. So what do we think about what happened last night? What does it mean moving forward? What does this tell us about how we engage with each other in a world where we do all have to live together, but we also have real injustices that we have to push back against and fight back against? So Debbie Stroman, Mia Burrows, joining us here now in the studio. Thank you both so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Delighted to be here.
So Debbie, let me start with you, because I know that you were there last night. So thoughts about what happened, the eyewitness account for being on the scene?
Well, there's no doubt I am still very emotional about the event, about this memorable happening. It was almost surreal. It started out, as most people in the area know, about Maya Little, a doctoral student in our history department, and how she chose to have her personal form of protest by mixing her own blood with red paint and putting that on Silent Sam. And that, over time, getting an honor charge and also a criminal charge against her. So there was a very, very big rally last night to show support for Maya. And I was also moved by two African-American male graduate students in the School of Education who proclaimed their sense of not feeling like they belong to the university campus. And they made a pledge to wear a noose. And it was very, very disturbing visual to see that to see them put a noose around their necks and say they would wear that until Silent Sam was removed. And so the people gathered, and it was really, really nice to see the blend of community from UNC, students, faculty, and staff, with the residents of Orange County and people from faraway places. I met someone from Portland, Oregon, and someone from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Virginia. So it was a blend of like-minded folks who felt that symbol of white supremacy was just too ugly. Because we know there are, what do they say, over like 1,500 monuments around the South and some up north that represent the Confederacy. But that particular monument on a university that professes to be a place of open discourse, of liberalism, and being open to different ideas and just being. And so the community gathered, the protests continued, moved over to Silent Sam, where I believe it was just the university police were there doing what they had been told to do at the cost of nearly $400,000 to guard, I guess it said, the safety of the people. But it became something where it seemed like it was safety for Silent Sam. So there was a movement there. Banners were constructed around Silent Sam, and you could see that he was being hidden, although those of us in the know had an idea that something else was taking place. We moved the march to right outside top of the hill, the intersection of Franklin and Columbia, where a circle was formed. The police, again, were spot on, very protective, opened the streets, allowed for the public protests, civility. And then the decision was made to move back to Silent Sam in an effort to show support for folks who are still there. And within, I'd say, less than 5 minutes of us being there, the movement started. And then, of course, Silent Sam was toppled. And just the feeling of elation, people hugging, screaming, crying, just so glad that that statue that had such a bold, bold presence on our campus was now dead. Silent Sam died last night.
What were your emotions?
Definitely screaming, hollering, tears, definitely something that I will never, ever forget. As an African-American woman, as a graduate of the university, as someone who's been committed to the service of helping those who are underrepresented and marginalized. So, you know, I really thought about the people who had come before me 50-some plus years in active protest. So I felt a very, very strong sense of I'm here, but I'm representing so many others who've done a lot more than I've done over the years.
Mia Burrows, as an elected official and also as a resident of this community and committed to the fight for social justice, the values that this community stands for, what were your thoughts just observing it happening?
Oh, it was just wow. Mm-hmm. This has been needing to happen for so long. As an elected official, I'm very outraged that the General Assembly and those elected officials chose to delay this process, and that the university leadership didn't see the true danger in leaving Silent Sam up. When I saw the video of the statue toppling, it took my breath away, and I was very grateful that no one was hurt. So I think that's on the university for having left that as a possibility. So I'm a big believer in civil disobedience. I think people can debate about property damage, but I think this is a piece of property that was so tainted that it had its own special category.
So the next question is kind of what happens next. And I think there's three different iterations of that. Number one, there is a criminal investigation going on. People almost certainly will be arrested and face charges for this. So question number one is what should happen there? And then question number two and three, kind of similar, are we still have this statue that's been taken away. The pedestal is still standing there, so the site exists. What should be done with the statue and what should be done with the location where the statue once stood? But let's start with the investigation and what should happen as far as that goes. Debbie, what are your thoughts?
So I'm going to call up Dr. Martin Luther King in his words. One of the most powerful pieces that I enjoy reading every year is Letter from Birmingham Jail. And Dr. King stated that a just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or the law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law. So we have a legal responsibility, but also a moral responsibility to obey just laws. And we have a moral responsibility to disobey unjust laws. And so, in terms of the policy and what the General Assembly did or did not do, or what our administration under the leadership of Chancellor Carol Folt, what they did or did not do, clearly the people have spoken. And so I would hope that if charges are filed in the sense that there was public defacing or vandalism or whatever, that we would rise up to a higher standard and say, what's the morality here? In the sense that the people in our democracy, our people have spoken, and they did this in a way that no one did get hurt. Thank heavens, no one did, but no one got hurt, and so these charges would be dismissed. Mm-hmm. But I believe anything that supports this symbol of white supremacy is not a just law.
I keep coming back to, and we had the same conversation when the statue got pulled down in Durham last year, that Dr. King wrote the letter from Birmingham Jail from Birmingham Jail, and that's part of what gives it some of its power. So is there something to be said for the people who did this last night being willing to accept consequences, legal consequences for their actions as part of the statement of principle against it?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think so. I was raised by a Vietnam protester who was thrown in jail twice. And so I do believe the power of civil disobedience is knowing that you may end up in jail or you may end up having some consequences. And it's even though you know that, the moral right thing to do is so so clear to you that you're willing to break a law and potentially take the consequences. Mm-hmm. That said, I think, you know, prosecutors and folks have some level of discretion, and I would hope they would use that in this case.
Blake Hodge wrote his piece last week about the last 3 years in the history of the debate around Silent Sam and the 2015 Objects of Remembrance law that the General Assembly passed. And one of the kind of the striking comments that was discussed in that piece was one member of the Board of Trustees referring to the demonstrators as entitled wimps and continued to use that particular phrase over and over again. And I think, especially in the context of last night, and Mia, like you said, the willingness to stand up and to take a stand, knowing that there are consequences that could potentially be faced, these are not wimps. Like, this is literally the opposite of what a wimp is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, there's no doubt that when people move into leadership or positions of power, they unfortunately move away from the community.
Mm-hmm.
And you've heard me say this quote a number of times: where you stand often depends on where you sit.
Mm-hmm.
And to make a comment like that, it's another example of how too many of our politicians are not in touch with what's happening on the ground. But there is no doubt that last night was a display of love, and it was a display of courage. And for someone to call these folks wimps or entitled brats and all these things, ugly things that we're hearing now, they're not a part of the democracy of the people. You know, money corrupts, but certainly this symbol, this upholding of something, as we'll say, the losers, you know, to uphold that when we're trying to have one America and the healing, to me, it just baffles me, just baffles me.
Speaking with Debbie Stroman and Mia Burrows, we're talking about the toppling of Silent Sam, which happened last night on the UNC campus. So the statue is down. It's been removed. I don't know where it is. It's being stored somewhere. The pedestal is still there. So there's that second question. What should be done with the statue, and what should be done with that location? Do you leave the pedestal there? Do you take it down? Do you put something else there? What do you think? Mia?
I was struck by how Duke handled that with the pedestal for Robert E. Lee, mm-hmm. and what to do, and that they had a community conversation within the Duke community about that. And I think this is a huge opportunity for a lot more conversation, and again, trying to develop some level of understanding between the people who supported keeping Silent Sam and those who needed it to go. So I think that clearly in a university community, that opportunity should be taken.
Well,
Debbie, yeah.
Part of the work by the administration was to contextualize Silent Sam. And their version of the wheels of justice moved too slowly because, you know, Silent Sam got toppled before that could happen. So there's still a chance and opportunity to contextualize the area. But sadly, I will say that just watching some of the Twitter responses, some of the tweets, the recommendation has been Dean Smith with the four corners or Michael Jordan, mm-hmm. which again speaks to how our university is so, the reputation and branding is such around athletics that we can't lift up some of the greats who've been fighters for social justice and change. And part of last night's demonstration, I believe the name was James Cates. He was an African-American male that was terrorized and killed at the Pitt at the university. And the thought was that he should be lifted up, you know, a true freedom fighter for justice for the university. But right now, you know, and maybe everyone's just caught up in the excitement, but, you know, the thought is put up a sports figure versus doing something to address what just happened last night in the history of that area.
Absolutely. I think it, whatever is done has to continue, be able to continue the conversation and actual making of changes around the history of white supremacy and racism. And if that opportunity were lost, as much as we love Dean Smith and Michael Jordan, that would be a huge waste.
Yeah, but one thing that I was thinking about earlier today, and I said something to this effect on social media, is there are going to be calls from people to put the same statue back up, but what happened last night is such a significant moment now in the history of UNC that now the great irony is when they call for the statue to be put back up, they're going to have to answer the question, why do you want to erase that history, which is exactly mm-hmm. the argument that they've been making this whole time. And it was a silly argument then, and it's silly now, but it's something that they would have to answer for themselves now.
Well, there's no way I could see Silent Sam going back up.
No.
Number one, people now understand. There was a lot of thought, but people understand it's hollow and it's not very strong.
Mm-hmm.
It's the base. That's where you really need a lot of work.
Physically, as well as morally.
To remove it.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
Morally as well. Number two, can you imagine who the people would be that would show up without a cloak or a hood on their face to say that this is what they want?
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I just think citizens would come out and would physically prevent it from happening. I know that the Daughters of the Confederacy are still around, but for them to be bold and very public, showing support for white supremacy, and we'll continue to read the speech, the Julian Carr speech, over and over. I just don't see it happening. But I'm hopeful that very, very soon something else will go up there in that space next to the pedestal. We do have the Unsung Heroes Memorial, which pays tribute to the blacks who helped build the university. And so now, even though it's not bigger than the bigger than the base, but still that can be more prominent
mm-hmm.
In its location.
Speaking again with Debbie Stroman and Mia Burrows, we're talking about the toppling of Silent Sam last night. And let's move into the second part of our conversation, which is the reason why the two of you are here today. Prior to the toppling of the statue, we were talking about having this conversation because all of us, Mia and I together, and then Debbie, you've got a separate project, are working on projects to promote civility and civil discourse in Orange County and to celebrate people who are champions of civility and civil discourse in Orange County. All three of us are also very much on board with what happened last night, I think, the toppling of the statue, the protest. And you've got people on one side in opposition to the toppling of the statue and things like that saying that's uncivil, that's not okay, we should be promoting something tamer, I guess. And then you've got other people who are in favor of toppling the statue who are therefore opposed to civility because they think of that as something that is necessarily tame and compromising and things like that. But I think all three of us are willing to make an argument that what happened last night is not just reconcilable with civil discourse and civility, but is actually an act of civility and civil discourse. But that begs the question, how do you reconcile those two concepts? Is it possible to reconcile what happened last night with civility? And if so, what actually is the definition of civility? How do we realize that in practice, Mia?
That is an interesting question. I've been spending quite a bit of time thinking about that. I started this work on civility in Orange County probably 2-3 months before Charlottesville. And ever since then, I have been thinking about, okay, how do you pull these two things together? And actually, I would say the word civil is the similarity, but there is civil disobedience, mm-hmm. and then there's civility, and you need both. I think in a situation that is such a tainted piece, as I say, a tainted piece of property, or the statue representing a call for white supremacy. It just, civil disobedience was in order. On the other hand, you also need civil discourse. You need to be able to hear each other. And I think that's where the role of civil discourse comes in. People cannot hear if they're being yelled at or being called names, or they would be a very rare individual who could look past that. So in order to move this conversation forward, there also has to be spaces where there's civility. And then, of course, when I was originally thinking of this, I was thinking about something that was of concern to the privileged community of Chapel Hill and Carrboro in Orange County, and people who are on the same sort of level of power to raise their voices. And so in that situation, I just think you should be civil. But this is a different thing and so much more complex. So I'm so grateful that you've brought us to have a chance to chew this over together.
Yeah, Debbie?
So I used to live in Columbia, Maryland, and we were very, very proud of our countywide initiative around civility. Bumper stickers, everyone's engaged. So I thought, wow, this would make sense for Orange County. And so we started the Human Relations Commission. We started a conversation around this. And then Representative Maxine Waters happened, okay, where she spoke out and basically was asking constituents or people who were anti-Trumpers to start challenging. She never said, let's be violent or anything like that. That all got, real confusing to people, her comments. But she was very clear that she was not promoting violence. And so I think it was about a month ago, there was another protest right out in front of the post office, Justice and Peace Plaza, and I saw someone with a sign basically saying, no civility. Mm-hmm. And so I started talking to other commissioners, human relations commissioners, and we said that we need to take a pause. I personally believe that the word civility has been hijacked. It's moved from kindness and politeness to being present with people you have fierce disagreements with, mm-hmm. to now it means that you need to stand down. And it only makes sense that, once again, that race shows up in this, because it's oftentimes that brown and black people are asked to stand down in the midst of violence. And it doesn't necessarily have to be physical violence, but a violence that is moral or violence that is in your face, you know, like you said, yelling and things like that. And so we're at the point where, you know, even though the demographics here in Chapel Hill, you know, there's not a large African-American population here, you know, Latino and Hispanic is growing, many more Asians. But this word civility is often used to try to have people of color to not confront, not to challenge, mm-hmm. not to examine. How often do you ask white men to be civil, you know, to show civility?
I do, but that's a different thing. that's me. I mean, and I think that's exactly it. The word's been hijacked in a way that is really challenging. And I don't know if our best bet is to be thinking about another word or making these distinctions about what you mean relative to relative power. Mm-hmm. And if a person that does not have relative power and what they need to do to be heard, what is effective? Because again, part of this is all about being effective. I don't want people to talk to each other just for the sake of it. Mm-hmm. I want us to move forward. So it's thinking about what is effective. The word we're using now may not be effective.
I was reading a book on, just so happened to have been reading a book on civility a couple of weeks ago. Not just so happened, it's because we were having this conversation, then and you see it in the library, and like, oh, you should check it out. It's a book from close to 20 years ago, and you can kind of tell, like, the specific debates that the authors are responding to are not the same as the ones that we're having today. But the same definition of civility keeps coming. It's an edited volume, so a whole bunch of different chapters written by different authors. And the same definition keeps coming out over and over again, which is civility is the act of treating everyone as free and equal co-partners in a community. And there's an author named Adam McClellan who defines, and I'm quoting now, civility as a principle of justice. To call for civility is to oppose those who would treat others as unfree or unequal or inhuman or irrelevant, but it does so in a way that recognizes the freedom, equality, humanity, and relevance of those people who would perpetuate injustice. And it's those two sides of the coin, right? It's the act of treating everyone as free and equal and worth talking to and listening to and learning from, even when there are strong disagreements. But it's also the act of, and this is the kind of the active civility or the radical civility that we saw last night, when there is injustice, when there are moments in a community when people are being suppressed or oppressed or treated as unequal or unfree, to not just oppose that, but to push back against it, and sometimes to literally pull it down. And that, like, those two things together are what civility is.
So I think both sides need to have an understanding of beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so last night, I believe that you had activists who felt that Silent Sam did not respect them or thought they were lesser than. And so that's why you had the physical push to topple Silent Sam. And when you just talk about, in general, civility, it's very hard to even have the conversation or engage with someone who doesn't believe that you have value, that you're not worthy.
A good example of that is to call people entitled wimps.
Wimps, yeah.
That's dehumanizing is what I was thinking about when you said that. That is exactly the opposite of what we're talking about with civility. If you dehumanize people, you are behaving exactly in a way, among other things, again, if you're trying to move a conversation forward or move behavior forward, it's utterly ineffective because you've pushed people away.
Mm-hmm.
Another example would be to not show compassion for someone who's been assaulted. And so if you're going to have a conversation with someone and you say that you're the victim when that person has been victimized, whether it's through slavery, Jim Crow, or sexual assault, or, you know, child abuse, but you can't say that I want to be civil and my situation is just like yours. That is not a healthy balance of civility as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got to start wrapping up. Again, we're speaking with Debbie Strohman and Mia Burrows. Two things to wrap up. First of all, both of us, or all three of us, are working on various civility-related projects. So, Debbie, talk about yours.
So, Orange County Human Relations Commission, we are your body to help promote positivity, great relationships, to promote the county. And so we feel that in the areas of education, criminal justice, and health, that we feel that we need to have civil operations, and that might be policies and practices. And so we plan to have a community forum. We're also going to have a community book read where we will talk about what civility means. But right now we're on pause as to how we define civility and how we work with other community partners to make that come about.
And Mia, we've kind of already started ours, but to give it an extra boost, what's going on?
So, starting a year and a half ago, I observed that there were people, in a debate that involved people of relatively equal power, that some people advocated with civility and respect, and others who did not. And I felt like it would be very good to be able to honor those folks who were able to debate with respect and also to really hear their opponents. And so I started working with folks from the Dispute Settlement Center and adding people on. And then we brought Aaron on to talk about how do you honor that. And first we had to think about, okay, what is civility? As I say, the protests and the murder in Charlottesville happened, and so we had to kind of keep rethinking it. But there's now a Champions of Civility Award that is sponsored by WCHL.
Yeah.
And Aaron has been moving that forward.
So if y'all are listening out there and you have someone in mind as a champion of civility, send me an email, akek@wchl.com, and nominate them, and we'll get the ball rolling on that.
Excellent.
So that is still going to be part of the conversation. But then finally, to kind of bring this all full circle and take it back to Silent Sam, so much has happened in the last 24 hours. What is the last thing that you walk away with? Something that we haven't necessarily said yet. Mia first.
I just think we're in a historic moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope very, very much that we go forward in this moment. And I also think there will be some backlash. But I think the folks who did what they did last night, those of us who consider themselves essentially allies, are ready to deal with that. We've seen from history there was backlash, but we can handle it.
Last word, Debbie Strohman.
I'll just say that right now we need more love. We need to heal America, regardless of what's happening in D.C. I think we need to start here with our amazing county. And, of course, that includes what's happening at UNC Chapel Hill. And so I'm just encouraged by what happened last night, that people start coming together and we build more bridges and we have that conversation. And then we need to go forward and be reflective with our own examination of how we got to where we are today.
much more to say on all of that as that conversation continues, which it's going to. The toppling of the statue is one thing that happened, but the issues in the conversation remain. Debbie Strom and Mia Burrows, thank you both so much for being with us today.
This was great. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.